We're in the Discipleship Roadmap series, and we've asked our congregation during this series, and we'll continue to ask, where are you on the Discipleship Roadmap? And as I lead us in prayer today in preparation for the message, I'd like for us to pray for insight into that. If we don't know, if we are still trying to figure this out, that we would pray, where are we in the Discipleship Roadmap? Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for your word that sets for us a true course from our birth to our death, even into heaven, and how we make a significant difference in this life, this privilege of life that you've given us. We pray for wisdom. We pray for your wisdom. We pray for greater understanding. We seek to have this parable come to life today, that we will hear your word, that we will understand it, that we will seek to live it. And now I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Thank you, Charlie, for leading today. Brad's out with the Sentrymen for the week in their activities. Brian's taking some vacation time. I wore a blue shirt today, and at the 8 o'clock service, I was over there when Gloryland sang, and I actually imagined myself singing with them, and it sounded pretty good. What a wonderful addition they made to our worship today. We are so thankful that they come and contribute to worship on a regular basis. This discipleship roadmap, it may start off real general for us, but the hope and the vision is that in a little while we're going to have an actual roadmap that you can go to on our website, and you can identify opportunities that will help you grow in your discipleship. And it will offer some self-assessment. We're not going to go to you and say, we think you're here and maybe you need to move here, but it will be a self-assessment of you and the Lord coming to a conclusion. I believe I am here and you are moving me in this direction. Still, that could be vague. Let me try to make it more specific. All of us are called to be a disciple and grow as a disciple. There is a next step for every one of us. There is never retirement in the church. We are always in this quest of spiritual growth. We have a limited number of years, and God gives us his word and other sources of inspiration to help equip us as his disciples. And so we are never a finished work. We do not reach perfection. We strive for it, but we do not reach perfection. And so there is always another step for all of us. Let me give some examples. If you are in a season of your life where it's like a desert, you're confused, it's a wilderness, maybe you're facing things you've never faced before, you don't know how to take the next step forward, we have Stephen ministers in our congregation that would love the opportunity to walk alongside of you in this season, help make some sense of it, and listen to you and walk with you. There is a way through these difficult seasons, and it's part of our discipleship to make it through those difficult seasons. If you've lost a loved one over the past year, or even recent years, and you're struggling with the loss, we have a new grief share group that will start in August. And that may be the place where you find people that understand what you're feeling and can help you move on in your discipleship journey. You heard Faith on the video, and she did a great job of presenting this Esther Bible study. And perhaps some of you have been out of Bible study a while, and that would be just the thing to commit for 5-6 weeks to a Bible study and join with others in opening God's Word, and to share in that message how God uses imperfect people. A wonderful message. A new 12x12 orientation session will be held in August. And 12x12 is very intentional about discipleship and leadership. And I would invite any who are interested in taking a step in becoming a disciple, a leader, or both, to come and be a part of that. There's just wonderful opportunities built into the life of this church. Some are popping up and we're experiencing some new things, but there are ongoing opportunities. And let me point out something else that's real close to you. In your pew, you will find hymnals and a Bible, and likely, unless they've been taken from the earlier services, an upper room. And that upper room is there for you to read a daily devotional. And perhaps that's where you are in your discipleship roadmap. You have not really committed yourself to the Lord with a devotional thought every day. It's life-changing. It's a catalyst for the whole day. When we start with the Lord and we read a devotional, it might take us just a few moments to reflect on it, to pray the prayer, to read the scripture, but it could have an impact for the whole day. That's what discipleship does. It impacts us for the whole day. It impacts us over time for a whole life. Now, this discipleship roadmap has been presented over the last few weeks. And we started with the idea that one of the big concepts of this is, notice, one of the key words is knowing. We get on this discipleship path when we know Jesus. Not just know about Jesus, but we come to know Jesus in a personal way. I heard someone say one time that North America, if you just divided it up into thirds, one third of North America, they know Jesus. One third know about Jesus. The other third does not know Jesus at all. In our Shalimar and Fort Walton Beach area, that's a tremendous mission field to think about. So many people not only don't know Jesus, that there's many here that just know about him and have never really committed their life to be his disciple. So the mission field is great, and it begins with knowing. And every disciple is called to grow, to go deeper into the Word, into worship, into allowing God to become a part of our everyday lives, which is the life of a disciple, walking with Jesus and allowing God to become a part of our everyday life. We looked last week, opening the words of Jesus about the vine and the branches, that we are fruitful when we are connected to the vine, Jesus. Our Father is the vine dresser. And there are seasons in our life where he prunes us. He prunes us because either we're not fruitful or we can be more fruitful. God wants us to bear fruit. And there are seasons where the dead limbs or even have to be cut off and cast away. But the vision of God is that we walk as Christ's disciples and we bear fruit. And we see that in the scriptures. Last week we focused on three key words, and it seemed to connect with our congregation. One is that to be his disciple, we must obey his teachings. So we're obedient to Christ's teachings. And through this obedience, two wonderful things happen. We grow in our love of God. God loves us, and we love God in return. And we have the capacity to love others. So this love becomes primary because of our obedience. We're motivated to love one another. And this seems to connect in our congregation, that when we're together, our environment is to be filled with the love of God and our love of each other. And it comes and it stems from our obedience to walk in the way of Christ. Then there's another word that's very strong as well. If we're obedient and if we love, then we will have joy. This unbridled joy will take over. And that is a wonderful word for the church. That our church is a people and a place of joy because of what God is doing in our lives. It is a place of unbridled joy where we hear laughter and we share those wonderful joys together. This environment of joy, this environment of love, is a part of our fruitfulness. We move on to the message for today, sowing. This sowing where we look specifically that this kingdom work is like casting seeds. Some of them will take root, some of them will not. Let's take a look at what this means to cast seeds and these teachings of Jesus. First of all, there is a teaching I wanted to start with before we get to the parable of the sower. In the book of Galatians, Paul says that we reap what we sow. I actually said it backwards at 8 o'clock. We sow what we reap. It's actually we reap what we sow. So we can look out in our world and say, there's a lot of things being sowed. There's discord, hatred. There's all kind of things being sowed. And that can certainly set an environment too. But what we want to say very convincingly is we as a church, we want to sow discipleship. We want to sow behavior that models this discipleship of Jesus. We want to look more like Jesus. We want our environment to be shaped like Jesus. We want to sow discipleship so that God's work can happen through us. And it's this relationship of knowing Jesus, growing in Jesus, and being intentional about reaching and impacting others for Jesus that gives us our mission as a church. This is not a linear line, this knowing, growing, and sowing. It is a continuous or a continuum. There are likely days where we're going to spend some time knowing Jesus, growing in Jesus, and sowing for Jesus in the same day. It's not linear. All three are a part of this discipleship journey of following Jesus. Now, the parable of the sower gives us some insight into all of this. The parable of the sower, Jesus tells us in this parable that this is the reason he teaches in parables. And let me share that with you. Sometimes we miss that in Matthew 13, but Jesus quotes Isaiah in telling us why he teaches in parables. You will ever be hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. This is the word of Jesus, why he teaches in parables, to open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand. And this word, it is something we hear, we come to understand, and we seek to live it out. Jesus breaks down the parable of the sower into four scenarios. Very quickly, just to look at what is distinctive about each scenario. The first one is, there was seed that was cast and sowed along the path. And of course, this was very short-lived. Flash in the pan. Did not last. In fact, Jesus, upon explaining this scenario, says, this seed is like the person in which hears the good news momentarily. There's a momentary recognition of the good news, and then just like that, the evil one comes and snatches that good news away. And the evil one loves nothing greater than to get us off track with our discipleship. And the quicker he can get us off track, the better. And this is Jesus' teaching. The word is sown. It's briefly heard, but then the evil one quickly snatches it away. Is that where we are? We just do not stay in our discipleship with Jesus very long at all. The second scenario is about the one or the seed that is cast upon the rocky places. A little more happens with this than the path. The seed does begin to grow, but it lacks roots. And the sun comes and scorches the plant. It does not make it because of the lack of roots. Jesus says this represents the person that hears the word, begins to receive it, but trouble comes. Persecution comes. And the person moves on to something else. Is this where we are on the discipleship roadmap? That we listen to the word, but as soon as trouble comes or persecution, we move on to something else. Third scenario is the seed that fell among the thorns. And the thorns are competing with the space of the seed. And it seems that the seed and the thorns can both grow for a while together, but then there comes a time where the seed is snuffed out and it is not able to make it because it's choked out by the thorns. Now, in my southern heritage, I grew up in the country about a mile out of Jackson, Alabama, and I grew up in the sight of kudzu. Do you know what kudzu is? It's the thickest stuff you could ever get into if you've ever walked into it. It's consuming. It'll wrap around you. And I used to play in it, but I would fearfully come out glad to be alive. It's thick. Kudzu, my understanding, was brought over from Japan to help with erosion and washing out of soil. And that worked great. But then it took over. And how do you get rid of kudzu? And so as I hear this parable of Jesus, I think about kudzu. I think about the cares of this world taking over my discipleship. And that's what Jesus says, that a person, the seed is sown, but the cares of this world begin becoming too much. The worries of the world, our own personal worries, they consume us. Worry really has no place in our discipleship, does it? Maxie Dunham says about worry, it has two ways it robs us. First of all, it robs us when we are consumed in worry about something, regardless of what it is. It robs us of that moment. We're not able to make the most of the moment that God gives us because of our worry. And then if we worry long enough, over time, it depletes us. It zaps our energy. And so we miss so many wonderful opportunities God has in mind for us, but we're so consumed by worry, we're not able to live them and see them. So that is why Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "Can you add 1 hour to your life through worry?" What's the answer to that? No. And if you've ever feel like you've added to your life through worry, please see me after the service. But worry does no good, and it becomes that which chokes out our discipleship if we let worry dominate. Secondly, Jesus said the snare of wealth can also start choking us out. We start focusing more on this world, our possessions, everything that we have, and then it snuffs our spiritual life out of us. Jesus warned against this when he said, "You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money." Jesus said, "Where your heart is, there your treasure is also." And this helps us out of the weeds, out of the kudzu, into this fertile ground, which is the point of the story, the point of the parable. Jesus then said, "Some of the seed fell on the good soil." And this seed, it not only grew, it started reproducing 30, 60, 100 times. And that really gets our attention. The fact that we not only grow in our discipleship in the good soil, but that because of what's going on in our life, we can positively impact other people in their discipleship. So there's a reproducing here of the seeds of what God can do through his work. So this good soil is the goal of this parable. We want to be in the good soil. And I hear also that this is a parable, as James Fowler said, about our own faith development. That this is a parable that teaches us there's much more than being superficial with our discipleship. There's much more. And the evil one doesn't have to snatch away our discipleship. It's a parable that also says that we do not need to let the trials and troubles and adversity get us off track of discipleship. We will undergo trials and adversity, but it can also be a reason to be drawn into discipleship and live it deeper. It's also a teaching that we do not need to allow the worries and the deceitfulness of wealth take the joy, snuff or choke the joy of salvation and discipleship out of us. This good soul is where Christ wants us to live. This good soul, where God can do his work in us and it can lead us to be fruitful for others, which is the goal of our discipleship. We are a disciple so that we can grow as a disciple and grow deeper, but we are a disciple so that we can have a positive impact on our world for Jesus. It is what we do for others that matters most. I want to thank this congregation for the many of you that in your own discipleship journey, you are impacting others positively for Christ every week. Thank you for that discipleship. Thank you for making a difference in our community and in our world for Jesus every week. It makes a difference. We never know how far one deed, one act of love, one deed of shalom, one tangible expression of our discipleship, we never know how far that goes for the kingdom. Thank you for what you're doing. Some of you, you've done it so long you think nothing of it, but it's making a difference for the kingdom. I want to invite everyone to come up with a 100-day discipleship plan. Now, this discipleship doesn't happen intermittently. It doesn't happen occasionally. It is something that happens every day. It's a claim we make every day to follow Christ. Back in December, January, and February, I committed to work on my health for 100 days, and it paid a lot of dividends. 92 of the 100 days, I did something for my health. I'm due another 100 days. But more importantly, we're all due to devote ourselves to discipleship for the next 100 days and to come up with a plan. What is my next step? What is it in my life that's missing that I need to focus more on to be a disciple of Jesus? It can really change our life. It could be around the knowing. And knowing Jesus and walking with Jesus, that'll never disappoint us. It'll help us in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. Do not let the evil one snatch you away from the joy of walking as a disciple. Growing, all of us, this is our goal, to grow. There is no retirement in the church. Did y'all hear that? There's no retirement. There's never a point in our life where we say we have done everything that God wanted me to do. It never happens. So there's always some way we can grow as we respond to the word, as we receive it, and as we seek to live it. And what we do for others and the difference we make for others, that never ends. The world is a mission field. We'll meet an opportunity this afternoon, tomorrow, Tuesday, if we're ready for it, to make a difference for Christ. So back to the roadmap. I don't know where you have identified yourself, but I'm going to continue to invite you to find where you are and take that step that God is leading you. Maybe you're lost still. Maybe you are wondering still. My wife and I, Karen, we travel together some. And it's amazing that when I drive and Karen is in the passenger seat, the shotgun seat, 5 minutes into the trip, she is telling me all the perils of my driving, all the things I'm doing wrong. It is a wonder that I make it alive in all my travels. Everything that can go wrong, she is pointing out. And God help us if we are in a strange location and I make a wrong turn and we start not knowing where we are, and she says, you're lost immediately. She says, you're lost. You need to find directions. Pull over. But you know, when Karen's driving and I'm in the shotgun seat, it's totally different. It's as if everything's going like it's supposed to be going, and if she should make a wrong turn in one of those unfamiliar communities, she's just exploring. She's not lost. She wants to see where this road leads to, what there is to see along the way. And that's what I'm inviting our congregation to do with this roadmap. You may be lost. You might need a buddy. You might need a friend to say, where do you think I am with this discipleship roadmap? And it could be you just want to do some exploring. That's okay too. But the invitation is, let's take a step in this discipleship journey. That's why we're here, to make disciples, to be disciples, to make disciples, to be disciples, to make disciples. Let's take a step in our discipleship journey this week.